Good morning. Welcome to our program, The Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local evangelist here at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. And we thank you for taking the time to listen to our program and hope you will become a regular listener. Last week, we began a short series that we will do maybe for a couple more weeks on identifying the Lord's church. Man has made it very difficult to be able to understand and how men can find the one true church. As we stated last week, there are over 1,500 different so-called churches in our country alone, and it's very confusing for those who are seeking the truth and trying to find the right church and find the Lord's church to know which one is the right one. As we discussed last week, according to Ephesians chapter 4, there is but one body, one church. And so how does man determine which one of the many churches that are out there are the one true Church of Christ? So, we're looking at some identifying characteristics of the church. Last week, we looked at its builder, which is Jesus Christ, and its foundation, which is Christ, and the time and beginning of its origin in the days of the Roman Empire in the first century and in the city of Jerusalem. Those are all identifying characteristics. Let's continue looking at some more identifying characteristics. What about the name? According to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, the church of Corinth was called the Church of God. We know in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15 that the church is called the house of God, the pillar and ground of the truth. In Colossians 1 and verse 18, it is called the body of Christ. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, it is called Christ's church because he is its builder. We read the churches of Christ in Romans 16 and verse 16. And in Colossians 1 verse 13, we read the kingdom of his son. And so there are varying names of the Lord's church, but the name identifies the one that it belongs to. The Church of Christ. It is one that belongs to Christ. And it is his body, and it is the house of God, and it is the kingdom that he promised to build in Matthew 16, 18, and 19. And so, it's known by those names. What about some of the other names? What about the Baptist church? Is that the Lord's church? Can we find that name in the Bible? No. John the Baptist, he had some disciples, but he was not the light. He said that himself in John chapter 1. He knew that he must decrease and Jesus must increase. He knew that Jesus was the one that would follow him, and he was the one that would build his church. John the Baptist built no church, and so the church doesn't belong to him. He didn't purchase it with his blood. He didn't die for it. It didn't start in the city of Jerusalem. And so that's not the right name. What about Roman Catholic? Can you find that name in the Bible? I've never found it in the Bible. If you know where it's at, I'd be pleased if you'll point it out to me. It's not there. And either are many of the other names. What about Jesus Christ? What about the Mormons? Is that name in the Bible? What about Episcopalian? What about Presbyterian? What about Lutheran? Martin Luther, followers named themselves after him. Is that name in the Bible? Not that I've ever found. And we could list any other name you want to find. And the question is it in the Bible? Is that name a scriptural name found in the scripture? Just look. The name you will find is Christ. And the others that we mentioned earlier. If it's known by another name, then that might be a way of knowing that it's not the Lord's church. But here's another identifying characteristic, and I want you to pay close attention to this one. By its worship. You know, you can see a name outside of a building, and that won't tell you everything you need to know. How does it worship God? How does it express worship to honor and glorify and magnify the name of Christ? Now, in the religious world that we live in today, people think that you can worship God in any way that you choose. And as long as you do it in honesty and sincerity, that means it will be acceptable to God. And so men offer varying types of worship. You might go by a building today, and you'll see that they offer two types of worship, contemporary and traditional. Contemporary is more upbeat and more modern, and traditional is more reserved and more old-fashioned, let's say. But does the Bible talk about that? What kind of worship does God desire in His church? Has He told us? And the answer is yes. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19 and Colossians 3 and verse 16, the Bible says that the music of worship is singing. It is vocal music. We sing and make melody in our hearts, not on a harp, not on a piano, and not with a choir, and not with an orchestra or a band or a rock group. We do it with our heart. That is the instrument that men use. And according to these passages, we teach and admonish one another in our singing. Why? Because we sing words. Words have meaning. They communicate. And we sing. And everybody sings. Not a choir, not a solo, but everyone. Everyone teaches and admonishes one another. And so if you come into the Lord's church here at Harrodsburg, you're not going to see any type of instrument. There'll be no choir. There'll be no soloists. We're not here to entertain you. Singing is something that we all participate in. And we do so because that's the type of music that the Lord asks in His church. And that's what we do. We pray. In Acts chapter 2, we see that the early disciples continued in the fellowship of breaking of bread and in prayers. We pray to the Father through the Son. We don't pray to any departed so-called saints. We don't pray to Mary. And we don't pray to men. We pray to God and we pray through His Son. He is the one that gives us access to the throne of the Father. Read John 14, verse 6. We also have a weekly observance of the Lord's Supper. This is what the early disciples did in Acts 20 and verse 7. We see instruction in the attitude that we are to have when we partake of that supper in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 through 30. And the Lord Himself instituted with the simple emblems of unleavened bread and fruit of the vine in Matthew 26, 26 through 29. So if you would come into a service of the church that belongs to the Lord, there would be a weekly observance on the Lord's Day of the Lord's Supper to commemorate the death of Jesus Christ. You see, that's the only memorial that our Lord asks that we remember is His death, not His birth, not His resurrection, but His death. And it's remembered every time we gather around that table. And it's done every first day of the week. Not every other week, not every quarter, not monthly. It is done every first day of the week. Think about it for a minute. When the Lord told the Israelites in Exodus 20 and verse 8 to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, did they ask which one? Or did they keep every Sabbath? They kept every Sabbath. Sabbath day was a holy day. And if the Lord says that we gather together on the first day of the week to partake of the Lord's Supper, then we do it every first day of the week. And so that is the practice. What about how a church raises money? According to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2, the church of Corinth was told to lay by in store as they had prospered and purposed in their hearts, so there'd be no gathering when the Lord would come. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, it tells us that we should give bountifully, without grudgingly, and not of necessity, because God loves a cheerful giver. The Lord's people are the only ones that carry on and fund His work. We take no outside contributions. There is no example or authority for car washes, for bake sale, for rummage sale, for garage sale, for Monte Carlo night, for bingo night, for raising money by a raffle. None of these are authorized by Scripture. None of these are authorized by God's Word in order to raise funds for His work. You'll notice on this radio program, you'll never hear us asking for you to send us a check, for you to send a pledge, or for you to send us some money that we might carry on this radio program. That's not what we're asking. We're asking you to listen and examine, because the only way that the Lord's work is funded is by His people, and money can only be raised by the authorized method. Anything else is unacceptable to God. Well, you might say, well, if we could raise more money, we could do more work. That might be human reasoning, but you couldn't find it in the Bible. If it's the Lord's church, then their work is funded by free will offering of its members, and that's all the Lord asks. Last, when you find a worship service that's conducted in the Lord's church, you will find that there is preaching and teaching, and that preaching and teaching is limited to the Word of God. Read 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. When you come into the church of the Lord, you're not going to hear stories or skits or drama, or we're not going to act out things, or we're not going to give you our opinion, or we're not going to preach for some other book, or we're not going to tell you a story that'll make you feel good, warm, and fuzzy. We're going to open up the pages of God's Word, and when we speak, we're going to speak as His Word speaks. Read 1 Peter 4, verse 11. Gospel preaching must be based upon the gospel. It's not based upon human theology. It's not based on human opinion. And it's not based on what doctrine man-made theologies have come up with. It is based solely on the Word of God. In other words, when you come into a worship of the Lord's church, you should hear biblical preaching. Preaching sustained by the Bible, book, chapter, and verse. Points should be given and proved by Scripture, not by opinion and not by human theology or books written by men. If you come into the worship service of the Lord's church, the one that He built, the one that He's head of, the one that He founded, and the one that wears His name, you will know by its worship. Do they sing? Do they pray? Do they take the Lord's Supper weekly? Do they lay by in store and free will offering of its members? And when they teach and study and preach, do they only use the Word of God and no other book? This is an identifying characteristic of the Lord's church. And ladies and gentlemen, this will put a lot of churches out of the running. There are many churches even in the area of Harrodsburg here. And you can go in and you'll see many names, and you can go in its auditorium and you can take a seat and you will listen and see if you'll hear the five things that we just gave you from Scripture. Are they doing those things? Are they worshiping God in spirit and in truth? According to John 4 verse 24 is what the Lord Himself asked for. If a church is not worshiping by God's pattern, by doing the singing, the praying, the laying by in store, observing the Lord's Supper, and preaching solely based upon the Word of God, then, dear listener, it is not the Lord's church. It is not the one He promised to build, not the one that He's ahead of, and it's nothing more than an organization that was designed, created, and is organized by men and not God. Now, listener, I know that's not popular. And I know many people think that's just my opinion. But, ladies and gentlemen, I gave you a book, a chapter, and a verse for the five acts of worship that we participate in here at Harrodsburg. I ask you, can the church that you belong to do the same thing? Can they give book, chapter, and verse for every one of their practices? I challenge you to put them to the test and see if they can. It is important how we worship God. I want to thank you for listening, and I hope that you'll listen again next week as we will look at some more identifying characteristics of the Lord's church. Until then, have a wonderful day.